Do you believe?
Welcome into another episode of Bringing Home the Hardware with Mark Drumheller and Kate Constable. We have a awesome guest on the show today that we're going to bring in just a few minutes. Joe Madden from Sports Grid is going to join us to talk some NHL because, Mark, let's be real, you and I, well, I guess I'll speak for myself. Not the biggest follower of NHL over the past couple seasons. I don't know half of what's going on in the league right now. I know it's All-Star break, so it's a good time to have Joe on. But other than that, I need her to teach me plenty of stuff about the NHL today.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to learn, you know, for us, for me too. And I love hockey. Like, I grew up with hockey. Like, I'm, you know, the Flyers,
you know, obviously.
And I know, right? But it's just, it feels, I feel like every year I'm like, I'm going to follow it much more. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to handicap it. And it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle, like, you know, because football winds down, NBA ramps up, and I just have a hard time, like, squeezing it in. So I'm going to try and be a little bit better, but, you know, definitely a lot to learn from Joe today. But, Kate, listen, all this is good, but the people want to know, how many puzzles this week did we do?
Mark, I didn't order any more puzzles. I don't have any.
Are we sure about this? Are we 100% sure? We wouldn't lie to the people now, would we?
I'm not lying. I would tell the people. I seriously considered it. I actually, during the radio show on Saturdays that I host, my co-host and I, Cam Smith, were talking about it. And he's like, do you think you could, is there like a 2,000, 3,000 puzzle out there? Piece puzzle out there, because I just do the 1,000 and I didn't even know, and we looked them up, they're like 6,000 piece puzzles. I don't have a table big enough to do a 6,000 piece puzzle, but if I did, that would have already been, Amazon would be on their way dropping that off. So no puzzles.
You can get
week.
Like a platform off your balcony where you could sit out there and do them, you know.
That would, yeah, I mean, I might have to push a couple tables together or something. We could make it work, but I don't know. Maybe after the Super Bowl, when my only focus is NBA, because Lord knows I'm not focusing on hockey.
Well, the best part about the NBA is you can do a puzzle. As long as you quit it within the last 2 minutes of the game, you're going to catch all the important stuff, right?
Exactly.
You know, the 100, both teams go on big runs, and then at the end of the game, yeah, we shoot a bunch of free throws and find out who wins.
Yep, that's how the NBA has looked pretty much this season. Or it's just a massive blowout, and you don't even need to watch the end of the game.
Yeah, and that's already over, right?
Putting up 70 points, something like that. Oh, geez. All right, Mark, quickly before we bring Joe on. Championship weekend last weekend. A little bit of a surprise in terms of what the public thought was going to happen. Ravens did not show up very well at all in that game. Lamar Jackson, I mean, that offense just looked incredibly different than what we had seen all season in terms of the run, all of that. And then you have Patrick Mahomes, who is Patrick Mahomes once again, and the Chiefs win that game. Were you surprised with how that one went?
I was surprised how it went. Now, it wasn't the Chiefs plus the four. I really thought the Ravens were going to win, though, and I really wanted Lamar to win, you know, but wasn't in the cards. And I thought it was a great example of just how, like, a team like Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, a coach like Andy Reid can have an impact on the other team, right? You know, they get the ball first, they drive down, they punch it in, and then Todd Monken loses his mind and calls the rest of the game like he's down by 28 points, you know? And you really saw get away from the Ravens, get away from what they do best. And that's really, like, coaching is just so huge this time of year. So I thought it was awesome in that respect, like seeing just the impact that Mahomes and Reid had on the Ravens coaching staff and how it was able to get them out of what they did best.
Okay, so then speaking of coaching, we have to go over to the Lions and 49ers because the Lions dominated the first half. And then we had some questionable calls from the coaching staff on Detroit in the second half. And momentum just completely flipped. And you could just see from the moment the 49ers scored their first touchdown in the second half, it was like, okay, this is just a downfall for the Lions. There's no way they're winning this game. And they didn't.
Yeah, was on San Fran team total over. So was happy to see the momentum switch. Yep. I was really, really sweating it. But, you know, it came through for us. So it's been a hell of a postseason from a betting perspective. But, you know, the real takeaway is Dan Campbell here, right? And his aggressiveness, you know, was he too aggressive? You know, listen, you go with what got you there, right? He continued to be aggressive. When he didn't kick the field goal from the 30-yard line, I was like, I don't know, man, Dan, you're like a little too wild for me. But you know how you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But my question for you, Kate, is we talked about the Bills and their fan base, how tortured they are. Now the Lions come all this way to lose that way. Who do you feel worse for, Lions fans or Bills fans right now?
I mean, I feel pretty bad for Lions fans, just the way that that loss happened. But Lions fans have a lot to look forward to because they're kind of, they've made it over the hump. They're going to be good going forward. Ben Johnson's coming back, their offensive coordinator. Like, they'll have another shot next year to be good. The Bills are good every year, and somehow they still fall flat at the end of the season. So, like, they're kind of where the Lions were 5, 6, 7 years ago, just in terms of not having much to look forward to in the postseason. Like, I kind of still feel worse for the Bills fans because they've had the talent, they've had the coaching, and they still never get it done. The Lions have been in the basement forever, and they're finally climbing up to, like, the main floor, second floor of the house, and they're going to stay there for a while. So, a little bit, I feel a little bit worse for Bills fans for sure.
Yeah, it does feel like Bills are on the decline. Like, they need to do something massive to kind of shift, you know, the momentum or the culture going on in that building. Where the Lions, you know, it was a huge jump, but it's hard to get back. Dan Campbell talked about that after the game. Like, it's not, you know, going to be that easy, especially, you know, Goff has played great, had a tremendous season, but unless you have a quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow, you know, take it from me, Philadelphia, right? I thought we'd waltz right back into the Super Bowl. Did not happen. So it's pretty tough.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's not as easy as just everyone's coming back, because now the Lions are going to have a bigger target on their back next year. Like, people are not going to take the Lions as lightly as they have this season and maybe in previous seasons. So it'll definitely be interesting, but we will have a great Super Bowl in about 10 days or so. Niners, Chiefs, Mark, before we get to Joe, because we'll talk about the Super Bowl maybe a little bit later in the show, but what are you, 15-0 in your plays throughout the postseason? Like, let's take a moment to
I've had one bet on every playoff game, you know, 6 in the first round, obviously with the wild card, you know, the 4 divisionals, and then the 2 conference championships, and we hit all 12, so
that's insane. You know,
only one way to close.
I had
a
drink. I'll pour one out for you, but I don't want this to go all over my computer.
Yeah, so we can't let up now. We got to get 13. We got to get the big Super Bowl one. So that'll give the people something to look forward to that we can talk about next week.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. We are going to bring in Joe Madden, sports betting analyst for Sports Grid. Joe, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We're excited to have you on because you're an expert in an area that Mark and I certainly are not. And that is the NHL. So thanks for hopping on with us. How has your day been going?
My day's been going absolutely wonderful. Thanks for having me, you guys. I've got so many questions about these puzzles, though. You guys both have the patience to do puzzles?
I do not. That is Kate's thing. Me and Kate have an ongoing thing. Go ahead, Kate.
We kind of, like, Mark asks me about my puzzles every week because I've done 4 1,000-piece puzzles since the start of the new year. I love puzzles. They're kind of like my way to wind down at the end of the day when, you know, the day's just been busy. I feel like I should, like, I always want to watch sports at the end of the day, even though I spend all day talking about them, like, because you want to see how your bets are doing or, you know, how things are playing out. But I also need to turn my mind off in some aspect. So I'll have a game on the background and do puzzles. And I love it. It's the best way to wake up, 15 minutes of a little puzzle in the morning before bed. So Mark gives me a hard time, but you should try it. Puzzles are the way to go.
We talk about that,
and we talk about how I'm, like, weaning myself off of caffeine. So I'm, you know, like, decaf, you know, green tea, coffee, whatnot. So my question for you, Joe, is if you had to watch the Super Bowl, would you rather watch the Super Bowl while doing a puzzle or watch it without caffeine?
Without caffeine. I tried to do puzzles during, you know, the lockdown and everything. I had one on my table, I swear, for 1.5 years. I just could not do it. And I got frustrated. And I think it was only like 60 pieces or something, just tiny. So not a puzzle person. Not a puzzle person, but
gotta give it another shot. Person
all the way. So I don't understand you, Mark, either. Not drinking caffeine. Wow.
Yeah, I'm weaning myself off it. So I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I still have it. Like, if I'm out and I go to Starbucks or whatever, like, I'm not going to get decaf because, like, stores, the decaf is old. They don't give you fresh decaf, like, or whatnot. But instead of drinking, like, 4 cups of caffeinated coffee every day, I've kind of, like, switched out. And now I do, like, you know, decaf when I'm home. And then, you know, if I'm out and I'm on the road and I get a coffee, I'll just grab it and have coffee. But I'm just limiting the caffeine. But I went completely cold turkey off it a couple years ago, and it was actually pretty good. Like, I enjoyed it, but I just got away from it, fell off the wagon, and, you know, maybe now I can get back on.
I love it.
He's insane. I drink my coffee first thing in the morning while I do my puzzle, and it's the best part of my day. So that's where I'm at.
I love that.
All right, Joe, let's get into a little bit of hockey stuff. First off the bat, before we jumped on here and started recording, you informed us that there's a massive trade that went down in the NHL last night. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it's kind of shifting the market?
Yeah, there's absolutely a huge trade that went down. So the Calgary Flames did trade off Elias Lindholm. It's the end of an era here in Calgary, and they traded him to the Vancouver Canucks within the same division. It's crazy to see, but the Vancouver Canucks are a team that really can make it deep this season. This is a team that I was looking at before getting this trade to be able to make it into the playoffs to win their division here. And now with Lindholm, they are going to be absolutely fantastic out there. They're a contender for the Stanley Cup. Lindholm adds so many elements for them. He's high powered, and this team is fantastic out there on the ice. You have a team now with the goaltending, the defense, and this team offensively is going to be a straight fire. So they traded for him, and then Calgary got three players back, and they got a first-round draft pick and a conditional third-round draft pick. So it's going to be really interesting to see the complete rebuild of the Calgary Flames. There's going to be some other movers here. There's rumors that our goaltender, Markstrom, will be gone as well. So we'll hang on and we'll see. I would love to be able to keep him, but we do have a young goalie coming up in the ranks, Wolfie. So I do think he will be impactful for this team. Like I said, this is a rebuild in Calgary, but the Vancouver Canucks, definitely a team you have to keep your eye on because they're leading the whole league right now. Quietly, a Canadian team is, and I do think they can take everything this season with Lindholm added to the roster here.
That's really interesting, Joe, because let's talk about the Pacific Division in general, right? Vancouver, odds-on favorite, obviously having an incredible season at minus 125. But within that division, you have the Golden Knights, who hoisted the cup last year. You have Edmonton, who's won, what, is it 16 straight games, right? The Oilers have won. So they've been on an incredible run. They're finally getting defense and goaltending, everything they've lacked since Connor McDavid, came into the league. So a lot of tough competition there, but you still seem to think the value is with Vancouver, correct?
Yeah, it's absolutely with Vancouver, even at minus 125. And I do think this line will shift when we come out of the All-Star break here. You look at the Edmonton Oilers, and yes, they've won their last 16, and they've been absolutely fantastic out there. This All-Star break came at the worst time possible for them. This is going to kill their momentum. You look at them, they're sitting with 59 points. They played 45 games. The Vancouver Canucks, 49 games, 71 points. And this team just getting stronger here, adding Lindholm. I don't think they're done. I think there's going to be some more moves within the Vancouver Canucks. Their goaltending is so solid with Demko, and their backup goaltender, Casey DeSmith, he's looking stronger each and every game out there. And when we look here at the Edmonton Oilers, well, I know how fantastic they've been doing, and they've been locking down solid on defense. I'm a little concerned here if Stuart Skinner, once we get into the playoffs, can go deep. He's playing fantastic, but how long can this last? He's not a proven goalie for me, and the biggest problem with Edmonton is their defense starts to collapse. They haven't made big moves, but with the coaching change, they've been playing better on the defensive side. I just don't know if this team can continue to hang this way and if they're going to have a letdown and if they've turned themselves into a playoff team right now with how they're locking down on defense, if they'll have enough once they get into the playoffs to continue with this momentum.
Okay, Joe. So you mentioned Skinner, who is 60 to 1 to win. Yeah, and you got to help me out here. The war for the best goalie.
The Vezina Trophy here for the best goalie. There's so much. Yeah, if Skinner can continue playing like this, plus 6,000 here for him to be able to get it done would be fantastic value. I do think he's a dark horse to get it. But it will all depend on how deep Edmonton can get and if he can continue to play strong. I also think if you're looking at the Vezina Trophy, you look at Joey DeCord. If the Seattle Kraken can make it to the playoffs, you're getting fantastic value on him at plus 7,500 because ultimately he's carrying this team right now. When he is in net, this team is struggling offensively, but with his goaltending skills, he's doing so much out there. His save percentage is absolutely incredible. As of January, he's just completely stepped up. So I do think he's another dark horse, the two dark horses. And then when we look at two goalies that I really do think have the best value for not such a long shot here, you've got Demko, the goalie here for the Vancouver Canucks. He's the odd favorite here at plus 550. I do think with Vancouver going so deep this season, you're going to start losing value right away on Demko. So he's someone to get on quickly. He's been absolutely fantastic. And then the other Canadian team, and I feel like I'm just like grabbing Canadian teams here, but you got to look at these goaltenders. Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets, he's coming in at plus 1,000. He's been absolutely lights out. Last season, he was a goalie that we really trusted at home, not as much on the road, but he's proving this season that he can play at home, on the road. The defense is locking down and not allowing as many shots on him, but his ability to stop those high danger shots and not allow the other opponent to light the lamp is fantastic. So I love Connor Hellebuck at plus 1,000, more value than Demko, but I do think both of them in the running.
Yeah, Hellebuck definitely have an incredible season. 0.924 save percentage this year. Stuart Skinner, though, Joe, I got a fun fact on Stuart Skinner. I'm not sure if you know about this. He's one of nine siblings, and all their names start with S. So he's a family of nine. He's got nine kids. He's one of nine kids, and every single of his brothers and sisters, all names all start with the letter S. So I thought that was hysterical when I was reading it. But Edmonton, you know, doing like a good Kardashians job defensively. It kind of is, yeah, a little bit, but nine's hot, man. Nine's a big number. I got two, and I got my hands full.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We could start guessing names here. That would be a lot of fun. Could you imagine when you go to yell at your kids, the name that would try to come out? Because I get my kids' names mixed up, and I've got a boy and a girl.
Yeah, I know, right? But let's talk about the MVP, the Hart Trophy. Who are we targeting this one? Is it too early to look at, or are some people there? Do you have, you know, who you think, you know, would be a good buy to right now and maybe a long shot that we could look at in the future?
Yeah, this is a hard one because when you look at the Hart Trophy, this is voted on and you've got to look at someone within their team. If you took them out of that team, would that team be able to be as successful as they are? And that's what I really look at when I'm betting on the Hart Trophy. So the first person who comes to mind when you think of the Hart Trophy is Connor McDavid because he's so strong. He's one of the best players out there. He is the best player. Let's just say it. Connor McDavid is the GOAT. But if you take Connor McDavid off the Edmonton Oilers right now, there's people that are stepping up. You've got Leon Draisaitl. You've got so much talent on that team. So at only plus 400 for Connor McDavid, I'm just not seeing the value there because really, while he is so impactful for his team, there's other players that are more impactful for their team and should be able to compete for this award. So the first one that comes to mind for me is Pastrnak here of the Boston Bruins. When you look at his points that he has on the season, he is leaps and bounds above the next player on his team, Brad Marchand. He's coming in at 47 and Pastrnak here, 72 points on the season. So I do think he's someone, if you took him off the Boston Bruins, this Bruins team, yes, they would be able to still lock down on the defensive side, but offensively, you're taking away a huge scoring element in Pastrnak. So Pastrnak coming in here at plus 500. Panarin, the Rangers, this is kind of an interesting one looking at Panarin. He's plus 1,500, so a longer shot here. He's been phenomenal. 30 goals, 36 assists for 66 points. Again, another player that's just steps above his other teammates. And then for that long shot, Jack Hughes. The New Jersey Devils without Jack Hughes on the ice are absolutely struggling out there. Jack Hughes coming in at plus 500. I think even though we're seeing Panarin coming in at plus 1500, I think Jack Hughes is a longer shot at plus 500. So I'm actually interested in him coming in. He's just so phenomenal out there on the ice for this team. This team without him there, while they have so many playmakers, just are not scoring like they used to. So I would have expected a little bit more value on Jack Hughes, but I understand why it's only plus 500. He's just lightning out on that ice.
So, Joe, I am based here in Chicago, and so we are very excited about Connor Bedard this season. And I know he's injured right now and will be for a little while, but he is the favorite for the Calder Award. Am I getting that right?
You absolutely are. And I still don't understand why the books still have him as a favorite. And nothing
I was going to ask, being he's injured and out, like, is there anyone that's going to surpass him? Or is he just that good that he's going to win this award regardless? Because he's still minus 200.
You know what? He is that good. But the problem is this team has lost so many playmakers to give him that support out there on the ice. You're looking at him out for 6 to 8 weeks. So he's got another at least 6 weeks out after the All-Star break comes out of it. And I just don't see him being able to do enough. We know he lost Corey Perry. He lost Hall. He just doesn't have those playmakers around him. And when you also look at this team, they got a couple wins without him out there. And I know this is for the top rookie. Connor Bedard is so skilled. He is going to be at that GOAT level. But I do think when you're looking at this, if you're almost laying $2, it's not worth it. You've got to look further down at some of these other rookies that are lighting it up this season. Logan Cooley is the first one that comes to mind for me of the Arizona Coyotes. He's been absolutely clutch for this team. You're getting him at plus 750. His ability in overtime to score that last minute goal and his ability to get the goals out there on the ice have been insane for this young rookie. And then Luke Hughes here at plus 1,000 of the New Jersey Devils. Both of these players are offensive defensemen. So it's harder for offensive defensemen to be able to get these kind of awards. But I do think Luke Hughes, definitely someone you should circle at plus 1,000. He's been so impactful for this team. He's able to get those goals as well. And I love the odds. Now, you can go further down that list. I wouldn't go too much further down the list because I'm just not loving the value on some longer shots. But I do think those two, if you're looking anywhere other than Connor Bedard, have so much value for you.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. I'm going to jot that one down. I might fire off on that one once we get off the podcast, to be honest with you, Joe. That sounds good. But any other awards, you know, targets you think we should hit or any divisional futures out there, you know, teams that we might want to look to win the division now? I guess I'm assuming we're around the halfway point because it's the All-Star break.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Vancouver Canucks, 100%. I would put some money on them to take the division at minus 125 and look at them to get to the Stanley Cup. I really do think that team has every ability. When we're looking at the Central, it's the Winnipeg Jets for me. Now, they're sitting with 65 points. They've only played 47 games. So the Colorado Avalanche sit at the top of the division, 49 games for them, 67 points. So Winnipeg is just hanging right in there. This is the most complete team in the whole league for me. They have all the weapons on both sides of the puck, offensively, defensively, and goaltending. This is where Connor Hellebuck, the goalie, is. I do think this team is built to win in the playoffs. My only concern with them here is if they're giving too much right now on the defensive side. And once they get into the playoffs, if they start to let down a little bit on the defensive side, but I don't see it. I really do think this team is absolutely so strong, the most complete team in the league. When we're looking at the Metro, I got to look at the Rangers, and it's nothing against any of these other teams in the Metro, but I find faults in the other teams more so than I do in the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers coming in at plus 110. Now, they've had some struggles here, but I do trust in this team to be able to get over those hurdles. The Carolina Hurricanes, I don't trust their goaltending. And Frederik Andersen has been announced that he will be coming back for them. And this is huge, but he can't stay healthy out there on the ice. So when we look at their backup goalies, you have a Spencer Martin and Ranta. Both of them, I don't trust. And then the Philadelphia Flyers, there's so many issues behind the scenes with this team. I do see, we saw the struggles start before this All-Star break. With everything happening, I don't think they can make it deep. And the Islanders, we saw the coaching change. This Islanders team, though, defensively isn't standing up. So I'm not sure they can get it done either. Just the value is all on the Rangers. They're sitting with 63 points within the division right now, but the Carolina Hurricanes are sitting above them. You'll have to play, you'll get plus 105 on the Canes, but plus 110 on the Rangers to be able to get it done, I think is extreme value.
All right.
Yeah, as much as it pains me for you to, you know, give out the Rangers being a Flyers fan, I do agree with you. I think, you know, it's a good time to buy in on them because they have the experience. The goaltending hasn't been great right now. So you looked at buy low with that. Maybe that'll improve in the second half. Panarin took him big leaps, doing a great job creating space. You know, it's a lot better on the power play this year. So, gosh, I hate saying that the Rangers are a good bet, but they probably are.
as you're wearing your Flyers shirt right now, too, Mark.
I know, but we're rebuilding, so it's okay. Like, no one expects us to win anything, so every win's a minor victory, you know?
I had so much hope for them as they went on that winning streak and everything, but I just think just too much controversy. I do have a long shot in the Atlantic, though. So we know the Boston Bruins sitting the top of the Atlantic, then the Florida Panthers. Sitting in third is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now you can get them at plus 2,500 to win the division, and they've got a long way to go. But they're just one hot streak away from taking that division. And I think it's quite possible. Their goaltender Vasilevskiy, he was injured at the start of the season, so they really started off slow. With him back in net and getting back in form, if this team can clean up what they do on the road defensively, which is not great right now, I do think they have every ability to take the division. I'm worried that the Boston Bruins might slow down a little bit towards the end and not battle out some of those late games against lesser opponents, because we saw what happened to them last year after taking it and then just being eliminated in that first round of the playoffs. So I do think the Lightning, 2,500, it's great value.
What about, Joe, switching gears a little bit? We have the Super Bowl coming up. Do you have a favorite pick in the Super Bowl, whether it's, you know, who you like to win, cover, a prop, anything like that?
I absolutely do. So when I looked at the last 2 weeks, I bet against the Kansas City Chiefs, which the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? So I have to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm hoping that I can get a little bit more value on them, that some money comes in on the 49ers. My heart wants the 49ers to win, but I just think KC has to have my money. But there's a couple props I'm liking even better than that. Brock Purdy here for his rushing yards, over 11.5, I think is a fantastic way to go. We saw him put up, 48 last week, and against a high-pressure defense here, the Kansas City Chiefs, I really do think he will be scrambling out there and can get some yards with his legs. Interesting one. If you guys believe in the number 13, heard you guys talking about that and everything around the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift, you can take Travis Kelce, so her boyfriend, for 13 plus receptions at plus 850. So we know 8 plus 5 plus 0 is 13. So if you want to correlate that 13 number, it's the only prop I could find where everything added up to 13, and it was to do with Travis Kelce.
That's
so
amazing.
Kind of like that.
That's great. I love that Purdy prop because, you know, listen, this Kansas City secondary, this is going to be a big, big difference between what they saw with, you know, the Lions secondary. So it'll be interesting to see if those receivers can get open. And if he's got to hold that ball, you know, he's going to be scrambling for his life. So that Purdy prop definitely looks good. So how do we feel about Taylor Swift? I know everyone's like, oh, NFL got Taylor Swift in the playoffs. Are we excited about Taylor being in the playoffs? I personally, like, in the Super Bowl, I mean, to me personally, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm not mad about it. I'm not happy about it. Kind of is what it is. But what's your thoughts, Joe?
I'm kind of at that point now. When it first started, it was kind of annoying, like how much attention she was getting. But then when you really stopped listening to everything on Twitter, because I feel like it was kind of like ex-Twitter, like I got more of that in my feeds than I actually saw her on TV. And when you actually went, okay, they're just showing her in the box, like they're really not doing a lot, kind of settled down. I was worried it was a little bit of distraction out there for the Kansas City Chiefs in some of those games. And I was hoping it would create more of a distraction because, of course, I'm a Chargers fan. I didn't want to see the Kansas City Chiefs at this point in the season. But no, I think it's wonderful at the end of the day. The fact that she's going to fly all the way from Tokyo to come to a Super Bowl game, I really hope he proposes on the field. That would be fantastic. Gives her a ring. It would be it'd be great.
What if he crashes the national anthem, proposes, and causes the national anthem to go over?
And then goes on to have 13 receptions.
Man, we hit that at plus 850.
Hey, it's not a whole lot better. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I said it definitely would be awesome. I think you look at all of his props. Last week, he was just absolutely on fire, taking him for those receptions, taking him for his receiving yards. I really do think he'll be able to get it. We see the 49ers defense. The defense isn't looking like I expected out of them either. So I think Travis Kelce has a big day, but don't forget about George Kittle. I think these two tight ends are just going to battle it out. And I know Kittle's off a bad game, but George Kittle, normally his receiving yards he's able to put up, his number's so low at 48.5. And when you look at him versus the Kansas City Chiefs, he's only played two games versus them. He's hit above, I believe, above 78 in both of those. Like, his number is like 178 versus the Kansas City Chiefs in two games. So not the exact number just off the top of my head, but he's been phenomenal versus them. And I think he is again.
I see, that's, I'm with you where my heart wants the 49ers, but my head says the Chiefs, because I went to Iowa and George Kittle played at Iowa when I was in my 4 years, we're the same age. So I didn't know him at school, but he was like the star of the football team and one of our big players. So I kind of want him to win, but my money right now is on the Chiefs as well. So
it's love or money, right?
Yes.
One will be hurt.
Bigger payout. So yeah. Joe, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, you guys can find all of my content over at Sports Grid, Sports Grid TV, or Joe Madden Sports. So thank you guys so much for having me on today.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
We will
maybe bring it back on again towards the end of the hockey season. We can check out how some of these futures and awards are going.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. See ya. All right, Mark, I just learned so much that I did not know
before.
Like, listening to her rattle all that stuff off, I was very impressed, and it kind of makes me want to watch hockey.
I know, it was crazy. I almost reverted back to, sometimes I hop on her show on Sports Grid, and I was like, hey, thanks for having me, Joe. And then I realized, like, hey, I'm having her. I'm the host this time. What am I doing here? Not enough caffeine.
Exactly. You need to get a little bit more of that.
But no, it's definitely, I mean, awesome stuff at it, Joe. You know, I love the long shots. You know, she talks about like Tampa Bay, and, you know, that's a team that's done it before. They have a goalie who's been there and done it before. And like, those teams are great teams to target, you know, in the futures market, in the awards market. It correlates. It's kind of like you see the same thing over other sports, you know. So it was good for her to kind of shine that, you know, perspective.
And now with the All-Star break, these lines will probably be sitting here for a little while. So. Whenever you're listening to this, go check those out before the second half of the season starts and those lines shift, so you can still get the numbers that Joe's talking about. Mark, speaking of getting some numbers out there, Joel Embiid for MVP, pretty much dead. Not something you want to bet into right now, because what, he can only miss like three, four more games, and he's actually got a legit injury right now. So not playing tonight against Utah, likely going to be out a little bit longer.
Yeah, he's broken. And, you know, so the MVP market is just, you know, completely in disarray right now, you know, which is awesome for bettors, right? So it gives you an opportunity for what we thought was kind of a little bit of a stale market, to where it was like, hey, it's Jokic and it's Embiid and, you know, maybe SGA can get in there, you know. Now it's come a little more wide open. So that makes it fun, you know, and it, you know, a lot more options on the board because he's out. I mean, I think he's plus, you know, he's like 20-1 now. Like, he's just falling down the odds board. So, I think that he's not going to qualify, you know, for the games. He's got injuries. He's banged up. Sixers got to think about the postseason. So that, you know, it opens stuff up, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I really, you know, you could kind of see this coming with Embiid, to where it's like, hey man, like, you know, you're only going to get so many seasons with a big man, to where he's able to stay healthy, relatively healthy through the entire one. And I just feel like it's, you know, I started hearing reports about like knee swelling, you know, last week, I was like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, no, that's the writing was on the wall when he first had any sort of inclination of an injury. It's not with Joel Embiid or any big man. That's what, 280, 7 foot, 280, something like that. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of pressure on those joints.
Yeah, they can't stay healthy. And it sucks for him. It sucks for fans, us who want to watch him, because he's putting up historic numbers right now. But MVP wise, just not in the cards. So good thing he got it last year. He at least has one and he can, you know, hang his hat on that. Playing our continuing game or whatever that we started last week. I like this one. And well, this is maybe just something we should do every week, Mark, is you have $1 left. What are you going to put it on? Last week, the question was, do you put it on Anunoby for Defensive Player of the Year or Ty Lue for Coach of the Year? Well, guess what? Both of those odds have significantly dropped. So we were on the right side just looking at both of those. Defensive Player of the Year, OG Anunoby is now 8-1. Coach of the Year, Ty Lue is now 9-1. So, you know, people out there, listen to the show, kind of put your bets in quick, because a lot of these lines are moving.
Yeah, they're moving. And you saw it, you know, Clippers, big win against Boston, really kind of like a statement game. And I, it's part of me feels like, you know, oh, you're falling for it again. Like you're falling for the Clippers. But I really think that they got a shot to win this year. Like, I think they can come out of the West. It just seems a little bit different than it has in years past.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, you know, no injuries for them. They don't break down, but they're looking real good.
It does feel different. Like something's different. It's hard to put your finger on it other than like just pointing to health, which is, I mean, likely what it is, but also kind of an easy answer. But the fact that Kawhi Leonard's playing in back-to-backs, the fact that he's playing at all for stretches of the season is really a good sign for the Clippers. Going to another one. Giannis MVP at plus 750 or Deebo Samuel first touchdown at plus 800. Where would you lay your final dollar?
I think I would take Giannis. You know, I don't like the 49ers, right? You know, we talked about that week in and week out. So, but I, it's funny because I went back and forth and I almost made this one three where it give you like a Kelsey first touchdown and a Deebo first touchdown, just to, depending on like who you think's going to score first probably weighs into it. And it does. Like, I think Kansas City, like, their opening script is so awesome. Like, I think they've scored, like, in, like, eight straight first drives or whatnot. Like, you know, so it's – you have to kind of take that into effect of the first touchdown market. Deebo, obviously, capable at 8-1. But I think that there's another situation with Giannis to where it's – now they have a new coach. Now you have a team that, you know, a lot of people were down on at high expectations. And – they could turn it around. And now you're seeing Kristaps, you know, Porzingis banged up a little bit. You know, if Boston suffers a couple injuries, if Milwaukee starts playing some defense, you know, under Rivers, listen, we're not betting that Doc Rivers is going to win any playoff series. You know, this is about, you know, on a strong regular season and, you know, winning this MVP award. So I think Giannis at, you know, 7.5-1 is pretty good.
All right, well, I'm going to take the third option that you didn't put on here, but I'm just adding a third option myself.
I'm
going to go with Brandon Ayuk to score the first touchdown at plus 850. Because
that's a good one.
I did look into this a little bit. The 49ers have scored the game's first touchdown 13 times this season. That's the second highest rate in the league. The Ravens are first. The Chiefs are third. So Niners second. Of those 13 touchdowns, 8 of them have been receiving touchdowns. Okay, so now I'm going to receivers, even though, you know, I know Christian McCaffrey as a running back could still catch a pass and score. As like that counts as a receiving touchdown. But I'm just going to focus on the receivers here because Kansas City's defense has only allowed opponents to get on the board first in 5 games this year. But all of those came via passing touchdowns. So based on those numbers, San Francisco's receivers that have the most first touchdowns this year. Brandon Ayuk leads the charge. He has 3. Deebo Samuel has 1. George Kittle has 1. Again, Christian McCaffrey, you could look to because he scores all the time, but you were getting what, like plus 340 for McCaffrey first touchdown. Ayuk is plus 850. So that's how I kind of narrowed that down to Brandon Ayuk. And then being you just took Giannis, I'm just going to go opposite of you and take the first touchdown score. So Brandon Ayuk is where my dollar's going at plus 850. I'd like
damn, I love that breakdown. You left no crumbs on that one. Like,
that's been one of my, you know, ones that I like actually, because that's a lot of the things that like all these shows we're going to be going on over the next week. Mm-hmm. It's like, who do you like to score first touchdown? What's your long shot thing? So I did a little research into a long shot I like, and that's my
that's a good one. That really is good. And both these teams, you know, have offensive minds with Reed and Shanahan where they're going to have good opening scripts. So it might be one of those things where first touchdown comes down to the coin toss. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I'm excited for the game. I mean, I think that it's going to be a lot of fun.
I do too. I'm very excited. And maybe I should do, you know, look into that same stuff for Kansas City and then put a little
on leverage it both. Yeah. Like we talked about that last week.
So if find someone on KC, put a little on Ayuk and then see what happens there. That might be something I need.
Kelsey is like 6.5-1 and Pacheco, I want to say is somewhere in the 8-9 range. Maybe it might even be as high as 10-1. But Pacheco could be one. Kelsey could be a good one on the KC side. And if you play them both, you know, you're going to lose your bet on the one, but you're going to win enough to cover, you know, your stake in the other one.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be my homework for this week. I'll look into that on the Kansas City side and next week's pod before the Super Bowl even. we will dive into that. Or maybe, Mark, we're both hosting together on Countdown to Kickoff on the BetQL Network this weekend. Maybe I'll bring some more knowledge to that show.
And we nice. Nice. That would be fun. Can't wait for all that right. one.
Last thing we have here. Do you like Tom Thibodeau for Coach of the Year at 33-1 or Derek White, Defensive Player of the Year at 35-1?
Yeah, so I don't know anyone that would be comfortable putting their last dollar on 30-1 long shots, but I wanted to throw this one in because it's, you know, it makes you think a little bit, right? It's a little tougher because you have Derek White, who, granted, you know, there's a lot of other great players. You look at Gobert, we talked about Ananobi, like a lot of players that are deserving of that award right now. But if Boston continues just obliterating everyone in their way in the regular season, all the Boston players are going to get increasingly more hype. And then Tibbs, like, I think what they've done with the Knicks was great. We talked about the Sixers in the sense of, you know, can they be in that tier with the Bucks and the Celtics? And we thought that they were really the only team that had a chance to be in that tier. And then boom, here's the Knicks, right? Jalen Brunson, you know, is playing out of his mind. The team is just cohesive. Even with Randall out, like, they have guys like, you know, Hart that can step up and help out. So I think the Knicks are there to stay. I think that they're going to be a top team in the East, and Tibbs deserves a lot of credit. If I had to pick one, I would probably pick Derek White. I would probably pick Derek White just because I think Coach of the Year is going to be super competitive.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Even just looking at Defensive Player of the Year board right now, like, Rudy Gobert is the heavy favorite, but how many times has Rudy Gobert won it? Like, is there going to be some fatigue there? OG Anunoby has the next shortest odds. I really like him. We talked about that last week. I think he is someone who might end up taking it home. And then you have Chet Holmgren. You know, Chet could win Rookie of the Year. Are they going to give Chet two awards this season? Do the voters want to do that? I don't know. So maybe that's a mark off Chet. Anthony Davis, is he going to stay fully healthy the rest of the season? He's the next shortest. I don't know. That's always a gamble like right there.
Walking out of the huddle when Darvin Ham's drawing up plays.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting with Anthony Davis night in and night out. Then you have Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. Similar to Chet. I mean, he's in the running for Rookie of the Year. He could end up winning that. Maybe. So I'm crossing him out. Bam Adebayo next. I don't know. I mean, I feel like his name's just in there because he is a very good defensive player. He's in there every single year. I don't know how I feel about Bam. Miami's really struggling. Yeah. Next up, Derek White. So kind of process of elimination of reasons why I could not see those other players winning it. That leads us to Derek White, where if you look at Coach of the Year, I can't really do that for Coach of the Year. Mark.
Dagnow.
I can never say his name. I mean, how bad have the Thunder been for the last decade? Like, they've been waiting to get to this moment. Here they are. I think he's the favorite, but for good reason. Chris Finch, the Timberwolves. I can tell you quite a few years the Timberwolves have stunk. Not made it into the playoffs. I know they've gotten in last year and the play-in 1 year. But that's a big turnaround for this Minnesota team last year to how they are this year. I could make a case for Chris Finch. Next up is Ty Lue. I could also make a case for him. But that's all to say that I think Derek White has a little bit stronger.
Yeah, it's just hard with Tibbs. Like, even though the Knicks, I think, are taking a big leap, like, they're still not going to come out of the East, probably. You know what I mean? It's probably going to be Boston or Milwaukee coming out of the East. And there's just going to be better, coaches to choose from, I feel like. But I do think that there's a path for White. And the other thing you look for, if Boston does finish the season as the number one team in the NBA, you know, as far as from a record perspective, you'd have to think that the media would be wanting to give these guys some awards, right? Like, you know, Tatum, Tatum going to win MVP? You know, possible, you know, but, you know, unlikely, because it's always kind of looked at like that Tatum and Brown duo, I think, kind of takes away from Tatum's MVP candidacy. So you have to look at it. Like, where are the awards? Like, you can go to the Thunder and they're in every award. I mean, it's Dagnow, it's SGA for MVP. It's, you know, Chet for Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. You know, they got people everywhere. Boston doesn't. So it's like, you know, are they going to push Derek White just to, you know, give them some kind of representation?
That's a good point. Especially,
I mean, how are you the best team in the league? You got no one winning awards, right?
Right. That's true. All right. I think Derek White is the consensus there. Mark, that's going to do it for us here. A little bit longer show today, but Joe Madden was awesome to have her on. Again, you can find her on Sports Grid and at Joe Madden Sports on Twitter. You can find Mark at @X_Drumheller. I am at Kate Constable. Check us out on the Believe Network or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back for another episode next week before the Super Bowl. Have a great week.